Good morning. This is Jake Richardson with your Community Forum, and I'm here with the CEO of NOLIN, Greg Lee, and the Chief Emergency Services Officer, Bryce Shoemate. How are we doing this morning, guys?
Great.
Doing good.
Excellent. They're here to talk to us about winter preparedness. Just tell us what we mean by that.
Well, you know, a lot of people this time of year is we're going into the winter season, and we've had a little brush, you know, with colder weather and some snow. We want people to be prepared, and that's what truly we're here all about is being prepared, making sure you've got a pre-plan rather than freaking out when, you know, you lose power or your utilities are off and you're like, okay, what do I do now? Do I need to call 911? And I mean, those are the things that we're trying to get people educated on, not only what to do to be prepared, but also what to do depending on where the line is down, who to call, and what to do. So, you know, just to get started, Greg and I want to make sure that everybody out there has a winter survival kit, and that's not only for your house, but also for your car too, your vehicle. And so some of those things that, you know, we need to make sure that people think about is we used to tell folks to make sure they had enough food and water to last them 3 days. Well, disasters that are going on all across the country, we found out that it may take first responders or help as much as a week to get to you should something happen. Now, we don't want people to sit at home listening to this right now, staying freaking out, saying, oh, they're not going to get to me. But you need to be prepared, and you need to have enough food and enough water to take care of your entire family and your pets. You know, a lot of times people think I got enough to take care of, but they forget about their pets, you know. And there's a great website on FEMA to go look, and it'll tell you so you can figure how much water you consume in a day and how much water your pet could consume in a day. And that way it gives you a feel of how many cases of water should I put back for the winter, and figure out where's the best place to store this, where in my house is a good place to put that. You need to have a battery-powered radio so that you can listen to WQXE or The Wolf, you know, while things are going on, because you all are going to be putting out information during that disaster. You should have flashlights with the extra batteries. Just in case our utilities are out, you know, we're going to need to be able to see to get around our house. And you need to have a first aid kit and enough of our medicines that we take every day to last us through that time period. And something else that we don't think about: your debit cards, your credit cards are not going to work because power's out. So ATMs are not working. You need to have cash that you can utilize. And if you're going to have some gas cans sitting around where you're going to utilize an emergency generator, and Greg's going to talk a little bit more about that, you need to make sure that you have enough fuel to power those different things, because if the electricity's off, that means all of our fuel pumps around this area are powered by electricity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's some things, to just common sense things you need to think about. In your car, you need to put extra coats and mittens, energy bar, a bottle of water, a small shovel, and some cat litter, because if you run off the road, you can shovel out possibly the snow and put some cat litter for you to get traction on. So extra windshield washer for your car's windshield, because people are going to be throwing salt water up on your window, and people will use an enormous amount of windshield washer on those days. These are just some pre-planning things that folks need to think about.
Now, when it comes to power outages, I'll throw this over to Greg now. Whenever someone's power goes out, do they need to let NOLIN know, or KU, or anything like that?
So I'll just speak on behalf of NOLIN. I'm not exactly sure the technologies that KU has in place right now, but for us, in nearly every circumstance, as soon as someone's power goes out, we know within a matter of seconds, and that's done through our metering technology. So each endpoint or meter on a homeowner's home or that's on a business or anything like that, it communicates back to our main system, and we have a 24-hour dispatch service that we run out of our office here in Elizabethtown. So we get that information almost instantaneously, and we will begin taking measures to investigate that right away, whether we've received a phone call or not. Now, lots of times, people will call and they will just say, my power's out, or they'll use our automated system and, you know, push the button to indicate that their power's out. That's just redundant information for us. Now, what is very helpful is if they can add anything to that. If they can tell us, hey, there's a transformer that's exploded in my backyard, or I saw across the field that there's a pole broken too, or there's a line laying down across the road. Those are really useful things because it can help us dispatch the right crew, the right equipment to be able to resolve that more quickly. So certainly we encourage people to contact us to let us know if they encounter something like that, if they have that kind of useful feedback that we can do something with. They can call our office. And lots of times during a major outage situation, we will use our automated system to receive that information. I know that people like to talk to a person. I get that. I do too. But rest assured that the most efficient way for us to take your information during those types of widespread outage situations is to use our automated system. It allows us to put more manpower on the actual restoration activity. And all of that information that's received is auto-filtered to our dispatcher so that we can figure out what is the most relevant and the most volumetrically necessary thing to approach first to try to resolve.
Now, Bryce touched on this briefly. Generators. What are some of the do's and don'ts when it comes to generators?
So generators are a great resource, and if someone has a medical necessity, if they have an ongoing need for oxygen supplement, or they have some business practices that they need to carry out no matter what the circumstance is, despite our best efforts, we cannot guarantee 100% uptime on service. So generators are great, and when they're used well and properly, they can do a lot of good things for people. But it's important to keep in mind the safety concerns associated with generator use. So just at a homeowner level, Bryce, one of the things that we hear far too often is someone's running a generator in an enclosed space, in their garage, something of that nature. Well, the carbon monoxide and the other toxic gases that internal combustion engine emits, people don't know when they're breathing that and respirating that into their lungs because most of those things don't have a smell. They're odorless. So make sure that if you're utilizing a generator, it is outside. It is in a space that those gases are not going to be traveling into your home. So that's probably the first line of defense for homeowner safety. In terms of the effect that it can have on our personnel, another thing that we hear about far too often whenever there is a storm situation is someone will have a generator improperly connected to their service panel, and it will backfeed onto the utility system, which creates a very severe electrocution hazard for our employees who are trying to make outage restoration. A generator should only be used if it is permanently installed, or a portable generator if it has a transfer switch installed by a licensed electrician and is professionally done. That is the only way to ensure that whenever that generator is being used to power a home or a business, it is electrically isolated from the utility and creates a safe circumstance for our employees.
So sort of sticking on this this safety, downed power lines, can we speak a little bit on that?
Yeah, I do want to touch one thing Greg said, and we've talked about this in the past. If you do use one of the portable generators, you can run extension cords off it to power certain items in your house. That way it keeps it off the grid so that when the workers come, you know, a lot of people do have – there's probably more people that have the little portable generators, and we'd rather see them use that, just run extension cords off and completely unplug their device that they're wanting to run so that it doesn't feed back through the grid and become a danger for our utility workers that are out here. But with downlines – people, just as soon as they go down or their electricity goes out, everybody wants to call 911, and it floods our system. And it, as a matter of fact, it floods the utility system too, because then we're trying to call them. The whole idea is if you've got a down line that's laying across the road and it becomes a danger to the public, it's causing a fire, it's across a house and we've got a fire hazard, those are the kind of things that you need to call 911. Something where somebody is in imminent danger. If your line, say, from the pole to your house has broken away and you don't have electricity, that's not something that you need to call 911 for. You need to call your utility provider for that. Unless I'm on oxygen and I don't have a backup generator, and I'm now in danger because I only have so much time on my battery power for my oxygen device. That's when we look, so, okay, we need to get you to a shelter or we need to get you to a medical facility. And it's okay to call 911 then, because now we've got somebody that's in danger. It's a life that's threatened, not because they're wanting us to fix their power, but because we need to get to them someplace that does have power. Like Greg said, they're going to know through their technology that the power is out your house. You don't need to call 911 for us to call the utility company and say, hey, 511 North Mill Street, their power's out. Just wanted to let you all know. That doesn't make your power come on any quicker. And it's not going to, the police and the fire department and the ambulance service cannot hook up utilities. The only reason you need to call 911 for that utility is if someone is in danger. And then, and Greg would agree with me on this, then we do need to call 911 and get somebody there. It's not to get their electricity on faster. It may be that somebody has wrecked and hit a pole. Then naturally you need to call 911, and then we're going to in turn call the utility company once our first responders get out there and tell us which utility company it is. Then we're going to notify them. So, that's something that a lot of people just take for granted, that they immediately want to call us thinking 911 is where everybody gets help. And it's true. But for down power lines that are not in a dangerous situation to hurt the public, then you need to be calling your provider and letting them know.
So, Bryce, you mentioned shelters.
Yes.
Briefly. Where can people find information about area shelters in cases of outages?
Great thing about when we have something happen, both Hardin County government, NOLEN, RECC, we're putting out information and keeping people updated, either through our website, which our website is hcky.org, or our Facebook site, where we're telling people, what's going on, where shelters are. Plus, we're going to be talking to you so that you can get that information out. And that's one of the big reasons why we said have a battery-powered radio, so that because we're going to be putting information out through our local radio stations, telling folks where the shelter is. If you need a ride to the shelter, this is the number that you need to call to get a ride to the shelter. If it's not an emergency medical situation, you call 911. But we'll be putting those pieces of information out through social media, through our website, and through you all as well. So, you would want to stay tuned to the Wolf or WQXE to pick up that pertinent information, because there may be several different shelters throughout the county. It may not be in just one general location.
So in the case that someone can't, for whatever reason, make it to one of these area shelters, do you have any tips for keeping your home warm if your power is out?
Well, we have talked about, if you ever got that, and this is another way to prepare, if you need to have an emergency generator to power a few items, like a blower, like I have a wood stove, and I've got a blower on that I can unplug, take my emergency generator, plug it in, so I'm blowing warm air throughout the house. We recommend to think about an auxiliary type of heat. But then again, you got to worry about noxious fumes, so you need to also have a CO detector in your house, because they're battery powered. Need to change those batteries out as the time changes every year, just like we do with our smoke detectors. But you need to make sure that that is a safe, clean auxiliary heat, and that then you start looking at, I need to minimize cold air coming in. So you may have to get some blockers to put around the doors to keep cold air from coming in, or even isolate. Look at where I can isolate folks in the house and close doors off so I don't heat those areas of the house where we're not needed. Those are the kind of things. And that all comes back to exactly what we're talking about, to pre-plan. Think about where you're going to put this. Think about where you're going to put your emergency equipment, and where can you isolate yourself in the house, to, you know, so that you can stay the warmest if you don't go to a shelter or you don't have a family member or friend's house to go to. And those are another thing that you may want to think about. We may want to be calling some of our family and friends and say, hey, if it happens, we have a disaster, electricity goes out, we don't have any services, I know y'all have got a generator. Would you allow us to come over and stay with you all during this time period? So, again, that's pre-planning and thinking about it before the disaster happens.
Okay, and as we sort of wrap up here, I'd just like for you to reiterate, if you can, all these good sources of local information and updates.
Yeah, so I would just say that in addition to what Bryce has mentioned about the website that he has available, and certainly he's going to be in contact with you all, we're going to be in contact with you as well. But we have information available on our website, nolanrecc.com. We also have a presence on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where we're going to be able to convey to the public the widespread outage conditions that we're encountering. Additionally, all members of NolanRECC have a media available to them called Smart Hub. And through that app on their phone or the web portal, they can see things like outage notifications. If they sign up for those, we'll be able to let them know when the power to their home or business is out. We'll also let them know when it is restored to their home or business. So I think that those are things that keep people abreast of what is going on. We also have an outage map available that can show Nolan members and the general public where a lot of the outages are, by county, by area, by substation. So that's useful information for the public. And one of the things that we've implemented new this year that we're trying to do to help the members is when there is an outage, we will provide an estimated time of restoration. Now, that's not a foolproof activity, but it gives people some sense of what to expect, whether this is going to be something that lasts a couple hours and they can ride it out, or if it's something that might take 2 or 3 days and they need to take some alternative solutions into account, because despite our best efforts, it's just going to take a while to get things back to normal.
All right. Well, this has been Bryce Shoemate and Greg Lee from NOLEN. Thank you guys for coming in and talking with me.
Thanks for having us today.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
I'm Jake Richardson with Community Forum, WQXE.